Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today in Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, our guest is Kimber Vautour, a Pop Warner cheer coach for 12 years who has led four teams to nationals. Kimber is a member of the We Play Coaches Committee, and she just started a website, cheeritude.com. She's here to talk about how young athletes defeat themselves by failing to believe in themselves. Also joining us is my brother, mental game expert, Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Patrick and Kimber.
Hi.
Hi, Kimber.
Let's talk a little bit about, tell us just a little bit more about your background, because it sounds like you've done a lot, and I may have left something out there.
I have. After being an athlete myself in high school and college, I got married, had a daughter, and she became a cheerleader, and I became involved in coaching. It was truly an experience that she pushed. She wanted to have me as a coach, and it made a bond between us that's incredible even to today. And I coached her all the way up until her all-star career. And then through her becoming an all-star, they offered me a position as an all-star coach. So it's been beneficial to both of us. This is my 12th year now.
Well, now, can you tell me a little bit, this topic about how young athletes defeat themselves by not believing in themselves, could you describe what you mean?
Oh, I think the thing that happens most that I see is continuously having to be an advocate for children to themselves and tell them that the only thing that's stopping them is themselves and their own mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see little girls that constantly, be it tumbling or motions or jumping, just they have the ability, but for some reason they just have this block that leads them to failure. And, you know, we have to teach them not only to be strong cheerleaders, but strong women through their actions and believing in what they do and what they can do.
Well, now, let's talk a little bit about what causes them to not believe in themselves. Do you have any, either one of you have any opinions about that?
One of the things that I seem to face the most is parental involvement, and it's very difficult. You walk a fine line between, stepping in the way and trying to help the parents to understand that their strong involvement is detrimental. And at the same time, having them be supportive, it's a very, very fine line that you have to walk as a coach. And the children, you can see the effects of it on the children. They want to try so hard to please the parents that it really inhibits everything that they do.
So do you think that's the main thing going on then?
In most of the cases that I've seen, yes. There's other things that do come into play. Low self-esteem. They may not be the most popular kids in school. They may not be the children with the most athletic ability on the team, so they feel that they're second rate compared to everybody else. These issues are, this is what coaches deal with every day. It's not just showing them what to do, but you almost have to be psychologists too and figure out how to get through to that child.
That's interesting. Patrick, what's your opinion about this?
Yeah, and I think also, Kimber, I think today it kind of is a different world in terms of the athletes with the age of the Internet and how they're all interconnected and Facebook. And I was talking to a college coach just the other day where she said something to the team, and then 2 minutes later it was posted on Facebook.
We actually have rules about that to not have that happen. We have contracts that they sign that says that Facebook is just like being at the gym, and that if any of the coaches see anything detrimental to other cheerleaders, the gym, or their coaches, they can be held accountable for it.
But I think there's a lot, Lisa, I would say, there's so many factors, as Kimber talked about, there's so many factors I think that could lead kids to not believe in themselves. You have the external factors of, I think, you know, negative coaching or parents that put too much pressure on their kids and or are, you know, focus only on mistakes, which we talk about a lot in the podcast shows. to some more internal factors like kids who have fear of failure. They can't take their practice performance, to the show, or they can't take it to when it's time to compete. They don't have the same level of confidence when it comes time to compete due to, once again, many factors. It could be, they have a lot of self-doubt, where they're continually questioning their skills, to all the way to where they don't trust it in competition, and then that leads to problems with their confidence. So I think you could go down the list. There's so many factors that causes kids not to believe in themselves, including high expectations, which we talk about a lot.
Now, is there how often do you see this, Kimber?
I see it at least once or twice with every new squad that I coach. We just started a tumbling class a few weeks ago with a bunch of different squads together to try to get their tumbling skills. And out of 18 girls, there's a couple that I've had to have this conversation with. And it's funny because when I say that to them, they know exactly what I'm talking about, especially one in particular. And as soon as I say to them that the only person that believes they can't do it is them, they give me a smile like, I've heard that before from you. And then I sit there and I hold their hands and I say, okay, let's take it step by step. Step one is this. Step two is this. Step three is this. And then I say, look, you did it. As soon as you take you thinking out of it, you can accomplish it.
That's interesting. So you have a whole way of dealing with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think everybody does that, that's coached as long as I have. You tend to have these little tips and tricks you work with.
Patrick, do you have any tips for kids who don't believe in themselves?
Well, yeah. I mean, Kimber, I approach from a couple different perspectives, and that is one perspective is there's some thought processes, beliefs that kids engage in, I think, that undermines their confidence. We talk a lot about high expectations. If the perfectionist, if they expect to be perfect, they're never going to achieve that, and then it has a tendency to lower their confidence.
Absolutely.
Kids who are what we call use a lot of self-labels or negative self-labels. I'm just not a good tumbler, or, I'm not good on the balance beam or whatever,
Yep.
So they engage in these self-labels, and they adopt those self-labels and becomes part of them. And that holds
well, that's
them back.
One of the things that I try to do is I try to take those labels right out of it. We don't look at it as you're a tumbler or you're a jumper or you're a stunter. You're just a cheerleader. And every cheerleader has their good points and their bad points. And there's different scoring that happens with a competition. Yes, there's tumbling scores, but there's also dance scores, there's jump scores, there's stunting scores. And if we can work on what you're best at so that you can achieve and become the best at that, then those other scores don't really come into play as much. And that's one of the things that we have to try to teach them is, not everybody is great at everything, but everybody is great at something.
In cheerleading, what about their looks? Does that come into play?
In cheerleading?
Yeah.
It used to be more than it is. When I was, back in the 80s, when I was a cheerleader, it was, the pretty girls, the popular girls, the,
right.
You were a cheerleader or you were nothing. Is that still to how it is now? Somewhat, but not so much. I mean, you'll see cheerleaders of all shapes, sizes, all skill levels, and believe it or not, some of the ones that you think would not be the best are. Last year I had a girl on my daughter's team that I wasn't coaching that one of my Pop Warner mothers said to me, I want you to take my daughter to see her because she's an inspiration. And I actually told this girl this at the end of the season because she's now too old to cheer. She's in college. And she said to me, why was I an inspiration? I said, you were a little bit more heavier set than everybody out there, but you were doing everything they did and even better than most of them. And to this one parent, she was such an inspiration to show her daughter that you don't have to be this stereotypical, perfect body to be what you want to be. And the fact that I told her this made her cry. And it was, and I hugged her and just she had never actually looked at herself that way. But to everybody else, she was.
Interesting. I'm curious, what about if they have one bad day? Does that often hurt their confidence? And do they bring that to the next day in terms of?
I think it's your job as a coach to not have that happen.
Uh-huh. And how would you avoid that?
everybody has a bad day. Usually what I do is at the end of every practice, I close out the practice by talking to the group as a whole. If I have one child that just defeated themselves all day long, I will keep them aside afterwards and discuss with them what happened. But I try to do it in a positive way. I try not to do it in a negative, you jumped wrong, you did this, you did that, you didn't turn your head. You know, I tell them to go home, take a shower, relax, have something to eat, and then just think about what they did. And then tomorrow what we're going to do is we're going to go through, and I have a big thing with the step process and take it step by step, because cheerleading is repetition. So as long as you master step one, you can go to step two. And then when you master step two, you can go to step three. So as long as you follow going through that progression, there's nothing that you really can't achieve.
Interesting. Patrick, would you add any other tips when that happens?
Well, I think she hit the nail on the head. Kids have to understand that they don't have to be perfect every day, that they're not expected to be perfect every day, that it's okay to have a bad day as long as you learn from your mistakes and you're able to grow and build upon those mistakes instead of beat yourself up, say you're never going to be a good tumbler, you're never going to be a good cheerleader, et cetera. You know, so very much you know, the next day it's a new day. It's just like in any sport, you know, that I work with, it's the same. You're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. And the kids that can, you know, handle the bad days, they understand what sports is about. They understand that they can't be at their peak all the time, every day. So they're able to roll with, you know, some of those bad days that they have.
I worry more about the children that don't have the bad days, because when they do, those are the ones that have the hardest time dealing with it. They see it as a complete epic failure.
Now, those are what we call perfectionists, wouldn't you say, Patrick?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we see more and more of the perfectionists. We actually develop a program for perfectionists just because we, based upon our survey of sports parents and youth coaches, we're finding out that that's one of the biggest challenges that they have, is helping perfectionists maintain their confidence, develop confidence, believe in themselves. So it's huge. I mean, it's not all bad. I don't want to make it sound like perfectionists have it all bad. There's
Oh, no, absolutely not. But it is, you almost have to develop as a coach a specific program for that one child to understand what makes them feel that way so that they can overcome that and understand that having a bad day is just a bad day. And each child is different. You have to kind of cater it to that specific child when that happens.
I think it has more about the inner belief, Lisa, than, you know, just having that bad day. I think it's ultimately what the child feels about him or herself internally in terms of their athletic skills. I call those core issues. When athletes think that they're not good because what others have told them, or, as I said before, they have negative self-labels for themselves as an athlete, those are very hard to overcome, especially when they make mistakes or have the bad day. Then it's even worse for them. So it's the inner beliefs about how much talent they feel like they have, how much dedication, desire, how many doubts are swirling around there on a daily basis that undermine the confidence. So I really look at it more from that belief-oriented cognitive perspective than, you know, athletes who just, you know, can't handle mistakes.
Now, we just...
Well, I didn't mean to make it sound like they couldn't handle the mistake. I think when I'm saying that they, you have to cater it to the individual child, it's kind of reinforcing exactly what you're saying. You have to get to the root of the problem, and that's specific to the child, before you can figure out how to overcome it. It may not be that they can't handle the failure of what happened that day, but that they put too much pressure on themselves. The parents put too much pressure on themselves. They're so good at something that being bad one day, they can't fathom it. Or there's so many things that can go into that. And that's why you have to look at the child as a whole. I hope that explains it a little better.
I suspect this is why you've had a few teams that have made it to the Nationals.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been really interesting talking to you, and hopefully we'll have you again.
I would love to. This was my first experience like this, and I enjoyed it completely.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
To listen to the end of this interview, visit kidsportspsychology.com.